Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
How you doing? Hope you're enjoying your Friday night. I'm Vince Quinn with you on 94 WIP. And joining me in just a moment, I think he's grabbing his coffee. He's getting his headphones. There he is. Big smiley guy. Steve Trevelise in the house. Hey, pal.
I got a nice pot of Dunkin'.
There you go. Yeah, the Dunkin'.
I got a nice pot of Dunkin'.
Nice pot of Dunkin'.
Am I on? Is this thing on?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, because I can't hear me.
Is that what happens during your comedy shows?
Hey, is this thing on? You guys look like an oil painting. What's going on out here? Where'd the audience go?
What's up, Trev?
You know, same old. You're sounding good, you know. Usually when I turn on sports radio, I want to hear about the guy ordering banana pancakes in the diner drunk.
Well, you didn't hear the preface for why I told that story.
Why did you tell that story?
All right, Caesar, do you have the audio for this? All right, so let me set this up. So what happened was there was a guy in New York, pretty young guy. The estimate was he was around 20 years old.
Right.
Went to a deli because on a Friday night like this, people tend to go out and get wasted. And he got
heard.
Yes. Just heard. Never experienced. Never. You're a choir boy.
Exactly.
So this guy gets loaded. He goes into a deli in the middle of New York, a bodega.
Right.
And he's a little hungry. So here's what happens. So good. It doesn't get old. I've heard it like 8 times. I love it every single time. It's amazing.
Oh, I can see that. All right.
It's so good. He wants a cinnamon raisin bagel, bacon, egg, and cheese.
That's not bad. Now I want one.
Not bad?
I
don't want cinnamon raisin.
No, you got to understand.
Cinnamon raisin?
The beauty of the cinnamon raisin bagel
is that it's not on a bacon, egg, and
is
cheese.
That they offset each other. No, I've done this before.
We were friends.
The sweet of the cinnamon. Like when you dig bacon, they'll sugar bacon, right? Or they'll put maple syrup on bacon, right? Bacon goes on everything now. But you take like the cinnamon raisin with the bacon is a nice contrast. Then you throw the egg and cheese in there. And you got your egg, and then you got your cheese, and you throw that on there. And I'll tell you about the bacon. The bacon and the egg. Who's that sound like? The bacon and the egg and the cheese, and you put them together, and then you eat them. And there's nothing better than that. I'm telling you. If ever there was a bacon, egg, and cheese bagel, that would be it.
Trev's Kitchen. I love it.
Can we
get a cooking show with you in the kitchen?
Cooking with Trev.
Just yelling about things. It's mac and the cheese. And you get the mac is with the cheese, and they're friends, and they shake hands, and they're just great. The mac and the cheese, they're buddies.
I'm going to give you the perfect recipe for macaroni and cheese. Here's what you do.
Yes.
I used to live on this. My mother made this. My mother made this all the time.
Okay, hold on. I got to get a pen.
We got tape.
I'm going to type notes. Go ahead.
Okay. You take the macaroni.
Okay.
And then you put in a little butter, a little milk, and you put a little Philadelphia cream cheese.
Whoa. I've never heard. I'm just shocked. I'm not dissing it. I'm surprised.
Soft Philadelphia cream cheese. And then you mix that with a jar of Cheese Whiz. And you pour it all together. And you'll put it in a pan. You put a little breadcrumb on top. And you bake it in the oven.
Oh, my God.
Heaven.
That sounds amazing.
Try it.
Yeah, my God.
My wife would always make the kids the Kraft macaroni and cheese and all that, right? Mm-hmm. So one day I decided, you know, I'm gonna let these kids live. And I went and I made that. And believe me, I was hero dad. And now every time we go shopping, could you get the ingredients so dad can make us the macaroni and cheese? I'm trying it. Fill it out, whipped, soft Philadelphia cream cheese with Cheese Whiz, a little bit of butter, a little bit of milk. And you mix that into the elbow macaroni. going to be unbelievable.
That sounds...
You're going to like it.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty darn
like
good, Trev. Right. How about this? How many things do you make? Or do you consider yourself a chef at all?
You know what?
I'm like, a good, I'm mom's a good out cook. Of the house, you're cooking. What's that look
if
like?
If I have to, I'm a good cook. Because like when I was 15, I lived with my grandmother for a couple of years, and she was the genuine Italian cook with the real kitchen in the basement.
Yeah.
Now, like, my grandmother made spaghetti and meatballs. She literally peeled the tomatoes, made the gravy, and then with the flour made the spaghetti, mm-hmm. and then made the homemade meatballs. I mean, that was spaghetti and meatballs growing up.
Yeah.
So I was living with her, like, when I was 15. I'd come home at night, and she had 15 children. I swear to God. And they all married. So there was always like a, and God forbid she didn't cater every event. So there was always like a christening.
It's the most Italian thing ever. And my mom is the same way.
Yeah.
My mom cannot help herself. My sister was on a crew team at Delaware.
Right.
And they have 50 kids. My mom's running to three neighbors' houses using all their ovens.
Yeah.
I said, Mom, why don't you just order a couple of pizzas and a hoagie? My dad's like, Vince, you idiot. No, she's an Italian woman. This is what she's going to do.
Downstairs and the real kitchen, like the kitchen upstairs was just for show. The appliances still had the price tags on them. Downstairs was like the 1920s stove.
That's a classic thing.
That was the real kitchen. And she would cook. So I would come home at night and I would just, you know, go down there and talk to her. And without really thinking about it, but just kind of soaking it in. And then when I moved out and got my own place, I remember the first time I called my sister and I said, how do you make the gravy? And she's giving me the recipe. And while she's giving it to me, I start remembering my grandmother running around the kitchen. So I start thinking, how did she make, you know, veal Parmesan? How did she make this? How did she make that? And you learn. So like for me, I could make, I make gravy. I make like the whole thing with the, you know, with the pork butt and the brajol and the sausage and the meatballs.
So you're legit.
Oh, I'm legit.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You know, and I was married twice. So, I mean, you know, like my current wife, you know, but there was space in between. Like when I first got divorced, all my friends that, you know, kept getting divorced and they all kept moving into my house. I swear to God, I had this big house, right? And it was like four bedrooms. So every time somebody would get divorced, they'd be like, listen, can I move in with you?
That sounds like a great sitcom.
It really was.
That should have been an HBO show or something.
Really? One guy was the Glenn Stewart, the B Street Band. He's the lead singer. We went to high school together. He moved in. And there, you know, it was all these different guys. And then when I got married, of course, they all had to move out. But, you know, we all had survival training, so we all knew how to cook, you know, and you learn that stuff. But, yeah, it was pretty good.
There you go.
So
I'm surprised. I wasn't sure what your cooking acumen would be, and I'm impressed, Trev.
You know what? I make good broccoli rabe. I make, do you like broccoli rabe?
I do.
That's an acquired taste.
I eat basically everything. It's hard to find things that I actually would never have anything to do with.
See, I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I eat it all.
Yeah.
The broccoli rabe, what I do is, like, first of all, if I'm going to cook the broccoli rabe, I take just the florets, and I saute that with the olive oil and the garlic, and you put a little dill in there because it cuts the bitterness of the broccoli rabe.
See, that's my problem when it comes to cooking. Part of it is just because I'm broke. So I'm not putting in for dill to sit in a cabinet somewhere.
You use the dill.
I mean, if I could get it for a good... Dill? Anyway, so, is this thing on?
It's that oil painting known as Vince's audience driving around right now.
But that's the thing. I don't put in for spices and nice things. I can cook if I have to.
I have to cook.
Well, part of it is I do like to cook. I just don't have time now because I'm running in this place and that. And so I'll just make a batch of something and eat that for a week. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. I will eat the same thing for 3 days straight and
really?
Then I do it again. I am a maniac in that way. I swear. I have had...
What do you have, like gruel? A bowl of gruel?
Basically. I make elegant gruel. Is what I do. I make, for example, the last 3 days or so,
right.
I've had rice and corn, and I just mix that together in a big pot. And
try
then,
a little dill with that.
Really I got to buy some
dill. Is good with
what's
it.
The dill with dill?
No,
anyway,
it takes the edge off. It takes like the bitterness off the broccoli rabe.
Well, that's what the whiskey's for, Trev.
Whiskey in the broccoli rabe?
No, it's just in my gut, and that takes the edge off, and then I eat my gruel.
And then you go to the diner and demand a cinnamon bagel.
Yeah,
bacon, egg, and cheese.
Cinnamon, raisin, bagel, bacon, egg, and cheese!
I did that once. I was working at Great Adventure years ago.
Yes.
And there was a diner called the Regent Diner.
Okay.
And it was one of those deals where Great Adventure was great because it was like four more years of high school. You know, picture an amusement park that was everybody was between the ages of 18 and 22. All from all these cities, like all of Jersey, lumped into this amusement park. So you got to be, you got to buy four more years. And it was like advanced high school. And everybody afterwards, you know, it was all partying and all kinds of stuff. So we'd all go get blasted. And then afterwards, we'd go to the diner. So I go to this Regent Diner. And I am completely out of my mind. And I'm like a rowdy, obnoxious, loud, I want to fight kind of guy, right?
Oh, you're an so I want to fight kind of drunk?
Not really. Because
that would be surprising.
Loud and obnoxious.
The food is one thing, but that is surprising. Okay.
Well, I'm just being loud and obnoxious.
Okay.
Because sometimes that leads
that leads
to fisticuffs. So I'm in the diner, and I'm being loud and obnoxious, right? And the guy throws me out. So now... And as I'm getting thrown out, right, my friends are now dragging me out of the diner. And I'm screaming, I'm going to tell my uncle. My uncle Regent owns this place. And he's going to fire your ass.
That's awesome.
It's no longer there.
My uncle Regent.
I'm telling my uncle Regent. You guys are out of a job.
Oh,
I didn't say
so
win the first day. I just said I'd do it. but that was pretty. How the hell do we get on this topic? You know, like we have all these. You know, we prepare Vince and I all week long. What's the crossover going to be? And sometimes it's cooking.
We get a team of writers and we brainstorm for hours, and the budget is ridiculous.
Yeah,
results are just not worth it. They're not
it is ridiculous. Yeah, but look at this. What have we learned from the show tonight? We learned Broccoli Rob.
Yes.
And we learned macaroni and cheese.
We
learned cinnamon raisin breakfast sandwiches.
If I get divorced, I can move in with you.
If you get divorced, you can always come by my house.
Thank you. It's very nice.
Can two divorced men without driving each other crazy.
I'm not married yet, but yeah, if I get divorced.
But tonight, we're going to talk about a very special show tonight. A couple of things. Of course, we got Eagles-Dallas. You know, it's finally an Eagle-Dallas game that's important.
Right? Nice.
How long has it been since the Eagle-Dallas games? Because they've through the years have meant so much. And this is another one that means so much. It's everything for both teams.
Even the game earlier in the season, that game was, well, Dallas is kind of bad and the Eagles are kind of bad, but somebody has to win the division.
And everybody thought Washington would because they were that far ahead at the time.
I was very set that Washington was going to win. They just took so many injuries. And so here you are. Now, Dallas has become a good team. And so they are deserving of winning the division. They're solid. They're probably better than what Washington was when they were playing well. But now that you look at it, yeah, this game is huge. This is huge for the Eagles' perspective, especially. For Dallas, it's not as big. But for us, you lose this game and it's done. This is your season.
Yeah, and the Eagles need this because this is the most important game. It's going to show if they're back or not. Like Dallas... They've got no injuries, right now, and they got Amari Cooper. You know, they made the addition. They've got the quarterback. They're going up against the Eagles secondary. They're going to be home. It really is the season for both teams because Washington is now like completely out of it. How the hell does Adrian Peterson get a 90-yard run and not break 100 yards? You have to try to do that.
Jay Gruden should so clearly be fired, and he's not going to, because they get so hurt every year that it's an excuse that he gets to lay behind. And hey, good. Let him stay there for forever. If Jay Gruden coaches the Skins for 15 years, I'm okay with that. But man, he's bad. Did you see? Here's the play that really got me was at the end of the game. There's maybe 3:15 left in the game.
Right.
It's 4th and 20-something. They're down 14, 15 points. Their season's on the line. You got to win everything. They punted. They punted the ball.
Yeah.
He literally punted on the season then and there.
That's the breaks, like the week before with the Giants. I mean, Shermer, as much as the Eagles adjusted to shorten that game in the second half, they made the perfect adjustments because they just kept the ball away from the Giants.
Yeah.
But secondly, the Giant coach just stopped doing what was working. For some reason, they had 360 yards of offense in the first half and said, okay, we're going to shut it down now. And then started using backups and stuff like that in the second half. So the way this division is, you just have a lot of weak teams to feast on, and everything breaks your way. You know, like with the Eagles, the Giants were a weak team. The team they played before that, who did they play before that? I think they won, and it was another.
Who did they play before the Giants? How am I spacing on this? This is going to kill me.
The Eagles played before the Giants.
They played,
but
how does none of us know this?
It was another.
Sports Radio 94.
It was another weak team, and they got to, like, you know, but they started building, you know, feasting on the weak teams, and suddenly you build up the record. I mean, the Giants won 3 of the last 4 games against horrible teams. You're right. They played the Saints, and they got shellacked.
Yeah, that's right.
Then they get to play the Giants, and the Giants they always beat, so there's your first win, like baby steps. Then the next week you play the depleted Redskins, now you got 2 more wins, so it's set up for you to get back in it. Same thing like with the Giants, they came back from the bye, and they play the worst team in football, in the 49ers, and it comes down to the final play, and then they play Tampa Bay, and again, you know, it comes down to the final play. They're not a good team, they just outlast these guys. And then they lose to the Eagles. And then, you know, like this last week, I forget who they played last. It was the same thing, down to the final play. Games that they should have won. So there's no real rhyme or reason. Now, when you look at the Eagles, the build, you know, you get the Giants, then you get the Redskins. Now you got 2 wins, and you're going to go into Dallas. So this game really is the Eagles season. And the Cowboys season as well. But when you're the champ, you're supposed to stand in and win that game. That's why they're the champions.
Well, that's why they were the champions. That's for sure.
Who do you think is going to win this week?
I really do feel that the Eagles are going to win this game.
You do?
I do. Part of it is just last week they called a really good game. The strategy was good. They've relied so much on Wentz for a guy that's as injured as he is, and I just don't get it. Sure, you want to force it. It would be nice. He's just not there this year. You have to admit it. And so make it easier for him, given that he is limited, and they did that. So I liked a lot of what I saw. Clement got back. He looks really healthy. And they're just adding more pieces as they go. So they are getting stronger here as they beat these bad teams. And that was the game where they got themselves together last week. I think this is the statement game. And if they go and beat Dallas in Dallas, and they can turn this thing around on its head where they really are in the driver's seat to go and take the division
if they win. Yeah.
They're in the driver's seat. So it's a huge opportunity for them, and I really do feel good about this.
This is where your Super Bowl experience comes in. This is where you get the mojo back that you had last year. The difference between Dallas and the last 2 teams is that they've got their mojo now. Now, Dallas, for the first time, has a defense that can win without Sean Lee. You know, those 2 linebackers they got now are great. The Zeke Elliott always runs through the Eagles. You know, they got the running back. Now they got Amari Cooper. Who's going to cover him? I mean, this week they're playing against a good team. You know, the last 2 weeks they played against bad teams.
Bad teams.
Now let's see what they can do when they play against a good team, and this is the true test. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that. Markelle Fultz, is it real? Is it imagined? He's got an injury where he puts his hands over his head, and that hurts him. So now you can understand why the shot adjustments. How does nobody know about this? You know, why did it take this long to figure
it
out?
It's such garbage. The whole thing is garbage. It's total BS, and everybody knows it, and nobody wants to say it definitively because there is that small percentage chance that it's not, but it's totally.
It's never happened to a basketball player before. It's happened to baseball players. It's happened to swimmers. It's happened to guys that put their hands up when touchdowns are scored in the NFL, and they go, yay! It has not happened with basketball. It happened to Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, it's the Sixers' luck. As Zaire Smith has a sesame allergy where he's lost 20 pounds and all this junk.
It's a sesame allergy.
It's so weird. It's just all so weird with the Sixers, and it's frustrating, but I don't know. Now, real quick note, because I do have to get out of here.
No, stay.
Yes,
because
I got to do other things here. I'm going to actually, I'll be podcasting a lot of the show. I should podcast this segment
sure,
that we've been
why
doing.
Not? Here.
All 40 minutes of it.
Really?
So I'll do that. But here's the thing. I was asking people earlier because to get in on the show, obviously, usual number, 888-729-9494.
Getting real easy
but
right now.
you certainly can. It's wide open.
We get you in.
Get in. Trev is begging. But
really?
If you hit pound 9494, It's only on your AT&T and Verizon wireless cell phones.
Oh.
So I was asking people, I was curious, what happens if you do it and you're not an AT&T or Verizon wireless customer? I just want to know. Maybe it goes to like some other company.
You go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Well, apparently it says hang up, check the number, and dial again. So not thrilling, but I had to know, and I figured people were curious, so we needed to close that loop, and there you have it.
It's good to know. Now, what have we learned? We learned macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese.
Rob,
yes.
What happens when you dial the wrong number?
Mm-hmm.
And dill. It takes the edge off of everything.
Dill and whiskey.
Dill and whiskey.
Yes.
Oh, I got to tell you the last thing I'm talking about tonight.
Okay.
All right. Because we got to get to the updates.
It's exactly. We're going to be combining breaks for you.
All right. Now, this is it was 38 years ago that we lost John Lennon, and I was on the air for it. Whose death shook you? Whose celebrity death shook you to your knees?
Oof.
The one celebrity death, famous person, relatives are different. You know, whose famous death just hit you the hardest that you were shocked by? We'll do that.
Okay. And that's a good topic.
You got one?
One recently, actually.
Recently?
Pretty recently.
Who's that?
Steven Hillenburg. SpongeBob creator.
Okay.
Yeah. That show, I got into it when I was in fourth grade when it started, and then I watched it again when I was in college, and it's still good. It's the first couple of seasons you got to watch, because then they change writers and all this different kind of stuff. It's just different. It's not as good. But the first couple of seasons are just, they're wonderful. They're really incredibly smart and funny and innocent. That's the thing. It's so hard to be really good at comedy and clean and childlike, and they just nailed it. That's why Elf with Will Ferrell, such a popular movie, because he's just so innocent, and you love that. And SpongeBob is just he's just an innocent nitwit, and it's great. It's a brilliant show.
That's the key to good animation writing. You know, that's the key to a good personality. You know, and they teach you that in radio. You know, always have a childlike innocence about who you're talking to when you do an interview or whatever. You know,
that's Angelo. Childlike innocence.
what would a kid ask, you know, because the kids are the most honest people. They'll just ask, you know, whatever comes to mind.
Yeah.
And they approach the world with a childlike innocence.
They do.
All right. That's a good
one.
And
you do as well, Steve Trevelise.
Yes. Well, it's easy when I'm talking to you. I mean, yes. You know, because you do the same thing. And the two of us look at the world kind of like the same way, which is really screwed up.
Yeah, it is.
And we'll do this again next week.
We certainly will. And I'll be doing this again tomorrow night, by the way, at this very time. Tomorrow night.
Who are you going to be crossing over with tomorrow night?
I have no idea, actually.
Okay.
It would be
Jolovitz?
It would be nice to know, but it's
going
to be Tom Kelly.
All right.
There we go. So, yeah, I will be in tomorrow night for the overnight, so stay tuned for that. Literally, keep your radio on and stay awake.
24 hours.
Stay awake until 2 a.m. tomorrow. It's going to be a great show. You'll be a great call because you'll be very loopy. Yes, I'm going to stay up as well. It's a guarantee. So I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, that's helped with the show tonight. I want to thank Jack Fritz, Sue Schilling for doing the updates. Cesar Gramenzi has been producing the show. Sam the Driver for bringing Trev for this long crossover show. Love Sam the Driver. Congratulations.
This is the overlap show disco version.
All right, so that's it. I'm out of here. Thank you for listening. I'll see you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.